If you'd like to go ahead and be turning to Matthew 25, that is where our study ended last Sunday, or two Sundays ago. We are continuing in our study of, you know, the last days of Christ. And really, on our calendar, we're still on Tuesday, but I can promise you that this is the last lesson on Tuesday. Tuesday was a long day of hard teaching for our Lord and Savior. From the time that he woke up, we put that withered fig tree in, to all the questions and trials that they put forth to him there at the temple, to, you know, leaving out of that temple. And that's where we are with our study. And, you know, his own followers, you know, pointing out the size of the stones there on the temple and the walls. And then Jesus telling them that, you know, not one stone upon another, you know, will stand. They'll all be tore down. That's Luke 21:6 that we have. And, you know, they travel on to the Mount of Olives. And last time we were on this, they got to the Mount of Olives, and there Peter, James, John, and Andrew sort of came to him privately, and they wanted to know, you know, when all of these things happened. And there were three questions that they brought up as part of this questioning. Matthew 24 and 3 is got the three questions. And two weeks ago, we dealt with the first two. Tell us, when shall these things be? Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And then the last one, and it gets in Matthew 25, and that's where we're going to pick up tonight, and of the end of the world. And I mentioned in that last, you know, lesson that there's so much conflict and problems with Matthew 24 and 25. But every bit of that problem falls down to not taking and answering the three questions in order. You know, they ask three questions. Jesus answers three questions. If you take and say, okay, the answer to each one of those is here, you have no problem. But see, you got all of this stuff that's made up, like the rapture and all that, from this one passage. And again, the problem is they didn't stick to the questions and the answers to those questions. So Matthew 5 is really this last question, you know, and of the end of the world. So what we have within Matthew 25 is these three separate, you know, parables, in a sense, these three separate, you know, situations that the Lord presents to them. All right, the ideal about the end of the world, judgment, and so forth. And he puts forth these three separate things. Verses 1 through 13 is of the ten virgins, really. Five of them were wise, five were foolish, verse 2. The talents, you know, the three individuals and the talents that were passed out to them. And then the last one is of the sheep and the goats and the separation of those. Now, what I'm planning on doing is just reading all of Matthew 25. And then I'm just going to make a few things that we need to pull from that instead of, you know, an individual lesson on each one, because that definitely could be done. I've heard a lot of individual lessons on all three of these, but we're just trying to answer the question. You know, that's what Jesus is answering to them, like, what of the end of the world? So he's going to start, and he's actually going to talk about what they need to be doing to prepare for that time frame, and then what will actually happen at that time frame. And, well, like I said, we'll make some points and, you know, what we need to learn from that. So let's just start Matthew 25, verse 1, and we'll read all the way through the 46. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go gather to those who sell, or rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered the goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not gathered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate from one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. All right, so the last question, you know, tell us really of the end of the world. So Jesus, like I say, he uses 3 separate things here. And what I want to look at is really what we can learn from that, because he's making points to them with this. The first point I want to look over is preparedness. All right, okay, you're asking these questions, you know, when is Jerusalem going to be destroyed? When are you coming back? What about the very end of the world? You know, and so one of the biggest things that he's stressing in all 3 of these is, well, you know, if you're worried about that, you need to be preparing right now. All right, even the idea of the destruction of Jerusalem, it goes back to that. You know, you'll see wars and rumors of wars and all these things, you know. Make sure you're in the right position. You know, leave, flee early. You know what I prophesied of. Get out of there. But here talking about the end of the world, you know, talking about his coming back, judgment, you know, and being judged of the things that we have done. You know, the ideal of being watchful and mindful, prepared, you know, that's definitely the ideal of the 10 virgins, right? The ideal of not waiting to the last minute, you know, and see what happens. You know, that's the whole ideal of not having the oil. You know, I brought just what I thought I could get away with. But then it took longer than expected, and I run out. You know, too often today, you know, people that claim to be faithful, they do just what they think is enough. What is the least amount the Lord requires of me? And that's that word requires. What's the least amount I'm required to do? I see that as this foolish, you know, individuals here that brought just what they really had in their lamps. That's a full lamp. That ought to be enough, right? I should be able to get through with just this lamp worth. That ought to be enough. Then it started running out. And when they were gone to find it, that's when it all happened, right? You know, that's just getting by. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Now, the wise one said, you know, we've brought ours, and we didn't bring enough for you. We prepared ourselves. We've got enough. How about with the talents? You know, the whole ideal of the talents. Talents, you know, was money. You know, it's actually like, okay, here's a set of coins. But notice with you know, the coins, you know, it was given to each with their own ability. Verse 15, to each according to his own ability. All right, so when we talk talents, you know, oftentimes we just transfer that same word for talent money to talent as an ability. And I think that's fine. Because it is saying he give to each what each was capable of handling. So your talents, you know, he give to each of us what we're able to handle. The Lord knows exactly how each and every one of us is made. He knows our physical restraints, our physical abilities to accomplish things. He knows our mental ability and ability to remember and teach and everything else. He knows every single thing about us. That's good in a way, right? Because when you start thinking about it, he knows me. He knows when I'm not able to do something. He knows when something is too much of me. But the bad side of that is he also knows exactly what we're capable of doing. And if we're not doing it, he's going to hold us accountable for that. He's going to hold us accountable if we're not pushing ourselves to see what those boundaries are. And that's really what's happening here. Each of these, they were given what they were able to handle. Yeah, the one with just the single, you know, the Lord knew that he was not able to handle more than that. But he can handle that. He knew that. That's why I gave him to you. You can handle that one thing. And the one that he gave five, he knew he could handle five. Maybe he could even handle a little more. So he says, you know, I'm going to put that on you. And each of those that took and worked with it, put forth the effort, they took and doubled it, really. And then the one, though, he could handle that one. But he just didn't take and put any effort into that. But all of this gaining the five, the two, or doing nothing, it goes back to being prepared, putting forth effort. You know, putting forth that work to make sure you're ready when he comes back. See, that's what it is. You know, they all knew he left, but he was coming back. That's the question here, right? What of the end of the world? You know, you're leaving, and you're going to come back at the end of the world. What of that? And he's telling them, I'm leaving you. I am this master. I'm leaving you for a period of time. I'll give each of you what you're capable of doing. Now, when I'm coming back, I'm going to come and judge you according to what you've done. So when he comes back, he's going to look at you and say, all right, how did you handle this? How did you fare? And, you know, he knows exactly what we're able to do. And if you say, you know, I did the least I thought I could do, not enough. And, you know, we get that here at the end. You know, you knew I was a hard man. Verse 24. You know, the Lord, he is fair. He is gracious. He is merciful. We know this. But when it comes to here's what I've told you to do, and then us trying to make excuses for it, he's going to be hard. We need to realize that, because that is being righteous. Here's what I've told you to do, and you're not doing it. You didn't do it. So I'm going to hold you, you know, accountable for that. It's required of you, and you fell short. I've got to hold you accountable for that. Another thing I want to put forth on this is making the best of what God has given us and the time allotted. So I know that sort of blends with that preparedness. But, you know, he's given each of us a certain amount of time. We talked about that this morning. The ideal of, you know, you know, redeeming the time. You know, yeah, every one of us will have a period of our life that we have wasted. We've wasted in sin. We've wasted in slothfulness. We've wasted in something. But once we come to that realization and we fix that, we better be working hard at it. You know, we've only got a certain amount of time allotted. You know, there were the virgins. They had a certain amount of time before the bridegroom would show up. But they wasn't prepared. They wasn't ready. They didn't make the best of the time. They could have been ready. They could have been prepared. And then when they left, that's when he came, and then they're out of luck. Think about that when it talks about being faithful. You know, you've been faithful all these years. You've worked. You've overcome trials and tribulations and all of these things, and then you just stop. Maybe it is because, you know, you're getting older and things are getting tougher or whatever the case may be, and you just are not faithful like you should be. It's like these foolish virgins. Are you away at that time he comes back? Or are you still giving it all you've got to be faithful? Or maybe you're giving it more now than you ever did in your life. That's what he's going to look at you and say, you know, you are capable of this. You can do that still. Or maybe it's even some of us, you know, middle age group, you know, in that range. You know, what are you doing? Are you making the best use of that time? Are you growing? Are you learning? Are you spreading the gospel? What are you doing with your time? We need to make sure we're making the best of it because we've only got a short period of time. And then we need to understand that at this judgment, there will be a separation. All three things talk about this separation. The wise from the foolish virgins. The foolish, they were not prepared. They were not ready. They missed out. All right, the one talent individual here, he went and hit it. He did not do anything with it. He missed out, right? And then we got the sheep and the goats. Well done, good and faithful, or depart from me, you wicked. There will be a separation. We don't need to kid ourselves in this. We need to understand that when the Lord comes back, he's going to look at each and every one of us individually. And he's going to look at our lives. He's going to look at the way we spend our time and what we've done with what he's given us to do. And he's going to say either well done or wicked. Either come into me or depart from me. We need to keep that in our mind that we will hear one of those two things. And it's going to be up to us to figure out which one we're going to hear. So with this, Jesus finishes this question, you know, and of the end of the world. So he tells them, you know, okay, you're thinking about the destruction of Jerusalem, me coming back, and the end of all things, you know, judgment and heading into eternity. Well, he starts with them. He says, all right, you need to think about yourself when you're asking these questions. What are you doing? Where do you stand? And then from there till I come back, or the end of your days, you know, make sure you're prepared. Make sure you're redeeming the time. Have an understanding that judgment will come and you will either be accepted or denied. But that's all going to be determined by what you do in this life. So yeah, you know, he doesn't answer them straightly and say, okay, yeah, it'll be this and this time frame, so you just watch for that. No, he turns it on to them. You don't really know the time. But you can always be prepared for that time. And that's what we do today. There's no different for us today as it was for them. I don't know when time's going to end. I don't know when my personal time will end. I don't know when the end of all things will be here. But I do know that I can take and be ready for it whenever it comes. That's on us. Now, like I said, we're coming to the very end of Tuesday. So, you know, he answers the question. And then he really predicts his death. Now, just like I've been doing for the recording, Matthew 26, 1 through 5, and that is what we're going to look at part of in particular. But Matthew 26, 1 through 5 is this prediction. Mark 14, 1 and 2, and then Luke 22, 1 and 2. So those are the three, you know, sets of verses that are following this timeline. Remember, this is at the end of Tuesday. The day's been long, the day's been hard, and Jesus is really just wrapping it up. You know, the whole questions, even the questions they had, because those are some pretty hard questions that they were asking for their own sake, you know. But Matthew 26, 1 and 2 in particular, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to to be crucified. This also gives us an understanding that we're spot on time frame wise, right? All right, you know, that's when we started this whole study. Remember, we started with the Passover. I said everything is structured from the Passover. We can work our way back and make sure that everything is on. So we're still here on Tuesday. It's 2 days out. All right, so Thursday evening, remember the evening, like 6 is the start. All right, so we're 2 days out. And he says, you know, after these 2 days is the Feast of the Passover, and, you know, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. That's also giving them a heads up that this is sort of an order of events as it's going to happen. All right, we're going to have the Passover, and then I'm betrayed, and I'm crucified. And that's exactly how it'll happen. The other part of this is Judas's bargain. All right, this is the same night. It's here on Tuesday. All right, this is Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Mark 14, 10 and 11. And Luke 22, 3 through 6. All right, so Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, at this same time frame, you know, if we're looking at Matthew 26 here, you know, Jesus is telling them that, you know, all right, there's 2 days out, then the Passover, then I will be crucified. Verses 3. And I didn't put it up here to read, but we need this piece of information. Verse 3, then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. All right, so while Jesus is out on the Mount of Olives, and he's really communing with the 12, and he's telling them of what is going to happen. We have back in Jerusalem, we have those that are actually plotting to figure out how they're going to do it. The only thing they truly know on how they're going to do it is that they're not going to do it on the Passover. They've got to do it at some other time because they fear the people and the way the people would view them on that. Now this is when Judas, really as Jesus, say they're getting ready to depart from the Mount of Olives and they're heading back to Bethany. All right. Judas is really turning and going the other way back into Jerusalem. And there he meets with them and they decide what to do. And he decides, you know, 30 pieces of silver will be just fine. I will betray him. Now, when we read these verses and you're looking at the verses, and I made this point at the very first lesson, some of these verses, like Matthew's account, and I'm not sure which one right off, Mark's maybe, it has from the Friday time frame that we talk about, you know, where you know, Judas is rebuked about the money situation there, and then it looks like he betrays him that night, but that's not the case when you put all of the accounts together. Matthew is really bad for doing it by topic, not chronological order. That's one thing we need to keep in mind. But there it shows or seems like he goes from being rebuked back to, you know, betraying, and then on to all the other accounts. But if you put all the accounts together, you see that we're on the perfect time frame. This Tuesday night, you know, I don't know if Judas has been sort of fighting this all along, thinking, I wish I had all that money, you know, like a whole year's worth of wages or whatever. And then, you know, he understands what has happened and what has been said during the temple. He knows that they're looking to get him. So he goes back for that opportunity. He sees that opportunity and he seizes on it. But this is the perfect time frame, this Tuesday night. And like I said, you know, Jesus is wrapping up a very, very long day here on Tuesday. It's been a hard day, you know, and at this moment, you know, he's telling them, as he's heading out and heading back to Bethany, you know, he's telling them, this is the time frame of how things are going to happen. And then at this same time frame, Judas is heading out. They're plotting and setting everything in motion. You know, so as he foretells of his crucifixion, all the chief priests, Sanhedrin, the elders, you know, all of them are back there making those plans. And then Judas just sort of hands it right to them. We need to understand, though, that every bit of this is fulfillment of prophecy, every single bit. It's not just these circumstances or happenstances of things just happen to fall this way. Jesus is telling them these things, and he's bringing these things up because it's been prophesied of old. He's really just doing that so when they look back, just like his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and they look back, they can see we were a part of this. We understand how we were part of this fulfillment of all those prophecies. So Judas takes that opportunity to go back and betray. And then the last of that Tuesday is that journey right on back to Bethany, where he's been staying with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So next week we're going to move into Wednesday, and I promise it is short. We will not be on Wednesday even close to what we were on Tuesday. And you'll see what I mean by that next week. But tonight we always like to offer an invitation before we leave. Our song service has offered those invitations, and I like to put forth the same opportunities. You know, if you haven't made the best use of your time, if you haven't made the best of those talents the Lord has given you, if you haven't done what the Lord has asked you to do, and you do not think at this moment that you'd be classified as that faithful servant, make it right while you have time and opportunity. We do not know when the end of time will be. We do not know our individual time. We do not know if it's the end of all the world when that time will be. We have no idea when that is, but we do know that we have the opportunity now to make ourselves right with him. We still have the ability to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Do not let that time escape you tonight. Come forward if we can help.